Hey there, Titans fans. This is your boy, August West. This is an MCM Radio recap edition. I am joined by Drunk as Shrew, Mr. Brandon. Buddy, how you doing tonight?
Oh, really good. It was such a fun game to watch. We snuck out, we didn't sneak it. It was, I was way more worried watching that game than I had any right to be, because I felt like at any time the rug's going to come out from under us. But I'm on cloud nine, August. How about yourself?
Man, yeah, I'm absolutely on cloud nine, too. The Titans went out and absolutely demolished the Green Bay Packers. I mean, like, a soul-crushing. And I will say that because I watched some of the Green Bay fans' Twitter feed and Facebook posts and stuff over the course of the game. Just a soul-crushing defeat that the Titans went out there and put on the Green Bay Packers. They ended up winning 47-25, and that game never even really felt that close, except for the fact that as Titans fans, you have seen them blow some games where they had leads that big. They didn't do that today. They were efficient. They were dominant. Brandon, what's your thoughts on it?
Oh, yeah. I don't think, other than when the game started, I don't think they got ever within closer than, I think, 11 points. And it was like, I don't have the stats in front of me or anything, but I'm sure the defense probably looks like they didn't have, the best game. But realistically, they were going against an offense that was going for it on fourth down, pulling out all the stops. For like half the game, we jumped all over them. It was 21 nothing. And then it was like, well, they're going to have to, they were just throwing and throwing and throwing. Aaron Rodgers still looked really good. Little frustrating. I see why he's got some detractors, because he's looking for a penalty on every play that doesn't go in his favor. And it kind of reminded me of some of the games back when we had Peyton in the division, and it was just like, come on, dude, quit whining. But okay, here, the first thing that I wanted to bring up, August, is we opened the game with an onside kick and didn't get it, and I was like, son of a bitch.
I hate that call.
I was like, who has seen enough out of our special teams to think we'd get that?
Dude, the Packers tried an onside kick themselves, I think starting out the second half, or pretty early in the second half. If the NFL outlawed onside kicks outside of the last 2 to 3 minutes of the game, in the fourth quarter, I would be so happy about that. I'm sorry. I know there was a big Super Bowl. The Saints did it against the Colts, and that really helped turn things around. It is just such a earmuffs, everybody. It's such a bitch move. I don't see how, if I'm on defense, I don't understand how I'm not furious that a coach would do that. I just think it's a terrible idea. It's an even worse idea now that you can't stack your side of the line. You can't do some of the trick stuff you could do 3, 4, or 5 years ago. But I hated that call starting out the game.
I'm with you. I hated it too. And then we forced a 3-and-out from like the 40 or wherever they ended up getting the ball at. And I was just thinking, and then the game played out the way it did. But I really wanted to kind of talk about the defense a little bit, even though it was the offense running away with the game. The defense has bailed us out time and time again. It seems like if we screw up, as long as the other team doesn't score on the screw-up, we've Marcus's turnovers, which he was clean today and looked phenomenal. He really took care of the ball. But when we've turned the ball over and it didn't go for a touchdown, they have held, I don't know if we've turned the ball over, did something stupid like that, and the defense give up a touchdown. And for us to screw up big, I thought, force a 3-and-out and play that complimentary football where – the defense lifted us up, I thought it was huge, August. And then for us to go for 75 yards on the first play from scrimmage when we got the ball back was like, all right, I'm ready to rock and roll now.
We'll just go ahead. We'll say a thing or two about the defense, because that's, if you're looking for a negative in this game, that's the only takeaway that you can have. Maybe that you can have. It's a defense that started out red hot early in the season, has started to slip a little bit as guys have, you know, maybe slowed down. We haven't, you know, we still have another game before our bye week. This defense is not deep. This defense has issues in the secondary when you're talking about, you know, Bryce McCain and Valentino Blake. Paris Cox is a boomer bust guy. You know, he's going to get beat. He's going to get beat, but he also will turn around and bat down a pass in the end zone that makes them settle for a field goal. You know, come up with a turnover every now and then. You know, the defense, Dick LeBeau is getting the most out of this group that he possibly can. But they're not a defense that's so good that they can go out and get us a game where we hold them to 6 points, or where we hold a good offense to, you know, 14 points, 16 points, 21, somewhere around there. That's just, this defense is not good and deep enough to do that. Next year, they very well may be. This year, they are not that good. However, if they absolutely did their job forcing the Packers to throw underneath to at least have to go to third and fourth down. When the game was even close in the first half, I mean, we kept getting three and outs. We kept sacking Aaron Rodgers, pissing those guys off. We were throwing them off their game plan. And, I mean, yes, because he's Aaron Rodgers, dude, those back shoulder throws, when he has a wide receiver that he's in tune with, that he's in rhythm with, that's unstoppable. That's just going to happen. It's the same like Brady to Gronk. It's, you know, Peyton Manning and some of the stuff that he used to do. Is Drew Brees and the fact that any guy that's over 6 foot three, he's going to make a Pro Bowler. There's just certain things that are death and taxes in the NFL. And Aaron Rodgers and his ability to flip out and roll to the left, which kept annoying me because you know he's going to roll to the left side every single time. Why don't you try and hit him on the left side instead of come out the middle? But that's, you know, that was the most frustrating thing out of the entire game, and it's the thing that kept scaring Titans fans, but we held them to 25 points when it all came down to it. Now, there's not another negative thing we're going to be able to say over the course of the recap of this game. So let's talk about what the Titans have done statistically. And I've got a litany of stuff that I'm about to read off right now. So, Brandon, if you need to take a deep breath, if you need to do whatever and hang out, I'm just going to read these off, all right?
Well, okay. Let me interject real quick. Two things that hit on before we move full positive, and then I'll shut up about it. One is I thought it was hilarious, but still kind of a microcosm of our secondary, is the guy muffs the punt, and Antoine Blake is sitting there pointing in the wrong direction. That we got fumble.
Yeah.
Did you see that? That shot. And then I think we got to bring up Lawan's ejection and that, and then move on to the love fest.
Okay. So this will kind of – this is a good bookend. Yes, Antoine Blake is – Bryce McCain and Valentino Blake are who they are. So Taylor Lawan, okay, the ejection is the headline. That's what everybody's going to look at. People are going to look at the fact that if Jeff Fisher was coaching this team, when that defensive end jumps across the line early and just takes out Marcus while he still has his head down looking for the snap, probably would have gotten a career-ending injury. If you don't believe me, just ask Sean Merriman.
Yeah.
However,
yeah.
You know, it wasn't just Taylor Lawan. It was – several, like Ben Jones and I think Josh Klein both got in the guy's face. It started a scrum that everybody was involved in. The back judge came up and put a hand on Taylor Wan's chest, and without looking at it or anything, he swatted the guy's hand away. It was an official. You touch an official, you're going to get ejected. I thought it was a little ticky-tacky. I thought, like, hey, dude, if you're a grown-ass man, you understand that that's not that bad of a thing. But by the rule of the law, that has to be what happened. Now, Triplett, who was the head ref for this game, there have been 11 players ejected from NFL games over the course of this season. Six of them have been ejected by Triplett. So So he's really sensitive to it, and he's much more he's very, very likely to do it. The thing that matters the most to me, and part of it is because we won, so that makes it a little easier. Marcus Mariota, the guy that LaJuan was defending, when they asked him about it after the game, he said he walked up to Taylor LaJuan and said, "I told him I appreciate that. We all got to do a better job keeping our head, but I appreciate what you were trying to do."
Yeah.
So I'll take that, dude. If you take a cheap shot at my quarterback, I'm going to get up in your face. It sucks that he was the one that got ejected for it, but you don't get to do that. You do not get to do that. And I thought what Paris Cox did when Aaron Rodgers took off running for a touchdown, and yes, he popped him a half second late in the end zone. Paris Cox had already launched at him. I don't think he could do any better. However, as I tweeted out, if I was a rich man, I would pay his fine for that hit. Because when you're a great defense, you are violent. He didn't dive at his knees. He didn't dive at his head. He didn't try and hurt him. He just knocked the crap out of him and told him, as soon as you start running, you're an actual football player. I'm going to hit you like a football player.
I'm with it. I didn't have a problem with what Paris did, and I didn't have a problem with LaJuan taking up for Marcus. It was just, you know, he swatted that dude's hand, and that's gonna get him kicked out every time. If he would have punched the guy that hit Marcus in the jaw, I still wouldn't have cared. He got himself ejected by something that he should clear that had nothing to do with defending Marcus. It was just him losing his temper and swatting at the official. But as far as the Paris Cox thing, people get hit as they're a step into the end zone on virtually every touchdown that doesn't involve a premier quarterback. So that's just, you know, that is what it is. But all right, I think
I'm sorry if that's Cam Newton, if that's anybody who's not a premier white quarterback, I don't even think he gets the 15-yard penalty.
I saw Jake Locker just about get killed by a Cleveland Brown a couple years ago running in, and they didn't call the flag. But anyway, all right, let's go on to the positive stuff, August.
Okay. Everybody just sit back, take a seat, listen to the stats about the run. The Titans have scored 35 points in three regular season games in a row for the first time in franchise history. The 35 points the Titans scored in the first half are the most that any team has scored in the first half this season. DeMarco Murray is the first Titans/Oilers non-QB to have a rushing TD and a passing touchdown since Earl Campbell in 1980. According to the Elias Sports Bureau, DeMarco Murray is the first non-quarterback with 75-yard rushing TD and a TD pass in the same game since John Henry Johnson in 1960. Titans quarterback Marcus Mariota has thrown multiple touchdowns.
We were
going to
be a 1960s offense, remember?
Hell yeah, they ain't ready for that. But hang on, I got a couple more we got to throw out.
Okay.
Marcus Mariota has thrown multiple touchdowns in six straight games, tying a record that goes back to Warren Moon with the Oilers in 1987. The Packers allowed four touchdown passes in the first 22 minutes of the game for the first time in Mike McCarthy's history as the head coach. And the Titans are the first team to score on each of their first four drives in a game this season. And that doesn't even bring in the fact that Marcus Mariota has now thrown more touchdown passes than he did all of last season and has fewer interceptions and turnovers, period. So for everyone who said that Mike Mularkey and Taylor Rubitsky were going to ruin Marcus, that this offense they were putting together was a Neanderthal that wasn't going to be able to be successful, and they were going to, you know, that everything was going to be terrible. You have so much crow to eat. So much crow to eat. Now, I'll say you have crow to eat in degrees because, Brandon, you and I and Dan didn't think it was going to be this good. So even though we were optimistic about everything that was going on, we didn't think it was going to be this good. So we at least have a smaller degree of crow to eat. But there are a lot of people who got a lot of hits and made big names for themselves complaining about what the Titans did in the offseason, and yet here they stand, 10 games into the season at 500. They have a great chance to at least be competitive, if not win the AFC South. Their quarterback is playing better. The offensive line is great, even though we've got three different guys who were not starting for the offensive line at the beginning of the season. I mean, come on. How can you be upset about anything as a Tennessee Titans fan right now?
There's no way to be upset. We are exceeding expectations, and we're seeing Marcus, you know, start taking that step step forward as you know, a franchise quarterback, and it's fantastic. But you're right. I don't know anybody that could ever think, hey, we're going to have an offense that's going to average 30 points a game for a month. You know, that is crazy.
That's insane.
All the stats you just read off.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane, especially considering that our wide receiving core is not a top half of the league wide receiving group. It does, however, speak to the amazingness of Delanie Walker. And the first half he put together today is one for the absolute ages.
His stiff arms were vicious. Vicious. He was hurting people out there. I heard after the after the game and the Titans radio post-game report, they'd pulled him aside, and he was talking about how he had read some of the Milwaukee article talking about if Delanie Walker is your best receiving option, how sorry is your receiving core? And it fired them all up. They all made plays. Matthews with that catch in the end zone. I mean, where it felt like the first month of the season was us every catch being contested and them missing, you know, a good chunk of them, I felt like they caught every contested ball. And we worked the deep routes, too. You know, they really – all that talk about us attacking east and west and not north and south did not show up today. We attacked north and south, and it's just really nice to see. Marcus's passes down the field were good. Even that one that Delanie got knocked out of his hand down the middle of the field was beautiful.
That was,
you know, he's improving, and he's still taking care of the ball, but taking shots when it's the proper time. But you could tell there was a couple times he held on to the ball, moved, and he was just smart with the ball. And this is kind of what a day like today is what we're going to expect if Marcus plays a clean game without the turnovers.
Yeah, and I mean, you're right that that deep pass to Delanie was a brilliant play by the Packers safety. It wasn't Clinton Ah-Dix. I can't remember. It wasn't Barnett. It was one of the other safeties that they have. He did a phenomenal job putting that ball into a tight window, and the defender did a great job breaking it up.
Yeah.
His evolution with the deep ball, I'm really excited to see some of the stats that are going to come out probably over the next week on how much better he's gotten at it. Scheming things for guys to be wide open, but that doesn't happen very often in the NFL. I mean, it was just such a phenomenal performance. And then you can't underestimate the impact that the offensive line and the rushing game have had. Number one, huge props to Dennis Kelly for stepping in and, you know, taking care of the left tackle position. We didn't even miss a beat. And Taylor Lewan has been a phenomenal left tackle. There are not many teams in the NFL that can lose their left tackle, their kind of all-star stud guy, in the first drive of the game, and then not really see a big difference in the amount of pressure that's given up. And DeMarco Murray, dude, running the ball, throwing the ball, whatever, catching the ball, he had three one-handed catches. Over the course of this game. I mean, God, how does John Robinson not win Executive of the Year?
Oh, he's got to.
Considering
and if we win the division?
Considering that considering that we got DeMarco Murray for basically a washing machine and like $200,000.
We moved back 13 picks in the fourth round. You know,
that one had to catch on
third down where Marcus overthrew him just a tad, but you know, that was fantastic. He is such a superstar. I was hoping he would break one for a receiving touchdown too, and get the triple play with the receiving, throwing, and rushing touchdown. But he's a superstar. We actually have a few superstars on the team.
And bringing in Rishard Matthews, who now has 6 touchdown catches in 6 consecutive games. I mean,
that's a free agent move. And we got him on the low. I think it was like 3 years for $14 million or something, something to that effect. So we got him a couple more years. Totally, you know, as of right now, he's out playing his contract. He's our number one receiver. They have him at the X. You know, it was.
Yep. And Tajay Sharpe had 2 big catches today. Kendall Wright came up with another touchdown pass, got a pass interference on another play. I mean, this offense is not going to put up 40 points every single game. But to see the progress, and especially I will give you – you and I talked about it a little bit before the show. Jay Rubitsky deserves so much credit for the way he has evolved the play calling. You remember what we were saying about 3 or 4 weeks ago? What he needed to do? Just adjust the dials, not blow it up, not change everything you're doing, but just tweak the dials on. And that's exactly what he's done. They're letting him throw out of the shotgun formation a little more, where he's a lot more comfortable, where he can make deeper throws more comfortably. But they're still running him under center enough that you have to stay cognizant of the run.
August, we have now, with 5 wins, that matches our win total the past 2 years.
Yeah.
And
we still have 6 games left to play.
And, you know, like I said, I got some love for the defense. We have a flawed defense, but it's been fun to watch. We've won games because of offense. We've lost games because of offense. But we're winning, you know. The trend, we started 1-3. For us to be 5-5, we're ascending. The trend is we are winning more games than we're going to lose. And we're competing with teams that should be better than us or were better than us. You know, we beat a team today. I don't know anybody when the schedule came out, regardless of how optimistic you were, saw us beating them. And now we get to go to Indianapolis. I'm expecting us to score 30 points, August. I don't know, you know, we're getting to that point. Everything is clicking. You said 5 weeks ago we're going to, you know, they need to tweak the dial. We don't need to scrap it. We don't need to fire Rubisky. We don't need to fire Mularkey. They're going to tweak the dials, and we've seen the evolution of this offense over the past 4 or 5 games, and we're, what, 4-2 in that time?
Yep.
So, you know, I love
it.
Yeah,
I mean, this is it's a team that consistently gets better over the first half of games. And, you know, all through the early part of the season, one of the things we talked about was, oh, they're so much better in the second half, where they get to come into the locker room, make the adjustments, they come out, and they make it close. Now they're starting out so much better. This was the best offensive output that I can remember from a Tennessee Titans team over the first half of the season, or the first half of the game, since, like, that freakish little 3 or 4 week period when we had Billy Volek and Drew Bennett, you know, just absolutely lighting it up. And we've had some good players in between there. But, I mean, yes, this team is the real deal. They're tough. They're physical. And it is a team that still can consistently run the ball. My favorite stat of the entire game was by the time we got to the fourth quarter, Marcus had thrown 3 touchdown passes, I think, DeMarco had thrown another touchdown pass. We had scored so many points. Marcus only threw the ball 25 times. We still ended up running the ball just as much as we threw the ball.
My favorite stat is scoring 47 points. I don't know if we've ever done that. Not as a Titan. I know a lot. I mean, it's crazy that so much of the offensive production and passing production that we have gotten out of this offense, this all exotic smash mouth, it's not going to work, it can't work in this, harkens back to the Warren Moon run and shoot era. That's the type of numbers that we're looking at out of our quarterback.
Yeah.
And we're a run-first, grind-it-out team. So that's 10 games in this offense for Marcus, and look at what it's gotten. That's why I'm so excited. I know it's real easy to take, sometimes I'll ride the wins too high and the low, and the losses too low. But take a step back. First month of the season, we got our butts kicked. We squeaked out a win. But that was four games in this offense for him. You can't count what he did last year with Malarkey because they were just running Wiz and Hunt's system. You know, he didn't have time to install it. A whole offseason to install the moves that we've made. Now 10 games in, we're going to be a top five, definitely top 10 offense by the end of the season. And I'm talking points scored. I never really gave a crap about what. Oh, it's a top 10 offense by yards. That's Jaguars bullshit. I want to be a top five, top 10 offense by points per game.
Yeah, the Jaguars are a top-10 offense by garbage time. So going into this game, you and Dan did a great job holding down the midweek episode when I wasn't able to be on. But you know how much I love my Football Outsiders. Where do you think the Titans offense was ranked going into this game? In the entire NFL, in terms of efficiency and scoring output, DVOA by the Football Outsiders. Just take a guess.
16th.
Eighth. Our defense.
Oh wow! I thought
our defense is 22nd.
Yeah.
By their stats, our offense is eighth, and we just went out and boat raced a decent defense. I think they were like 15th or 16th overall in the NFL. This Titans team is proving over and over. Once again, it's one of the things that we talked about over the course of the offseason and going into the early part of the season. They are designing a team that can win on a sustainable basis. They're not, it's not going to be up and down. It's not going to be such a roller coaster. And when you look at the amount of points that we scored early in the season and then the second quarter of the season and what we're doing now, it's a steady ascent to being consistent, being efficient. And that is so important in the NFL. Because we'll talk about what this means later on for the Tennessee Titans, but you can tell, you and I both know, that if they stay healthy, if they keep playing in this way, even if we sneak into the playoffs, if we might be an 8-8 team and get into the playoffs, there is nobody that's going to want to play us when wintertime comes around.
No. No, exactly. We're going to be built for that. We don't play in the dome. If we win the division, which I think is our only path into the playoffs, I don't think a wild card is going to come out of the AFC South. It's going to be AFC West. I think the AFC West is going to put in three playoff teams. If we win the division, we get a playoff game at home. Think about that. Today was us beginning to take our home field advantage back. A team that travels so well, and they thought, hey, let's go watch our team whoop up on the Titans. It'll be fun. And they were having to head for the exits by halftime. That's going to be huge. Now, we need to take care of business against the Colts. I know we'll have a preview episode to come out the Friday before, but we need to beat them. We need to kick the Bears while they're down. and go into the bye. Two more wins. We need to be 7-5, and then all we got to do is beat the Jags and the Texans in the last game. We don't have to beat the Broncos or Houston. But if we clean up the division the rest of the way and then take care of the Bears, we're going to win the division, and we're going to have a playoff game in Nashville, which hasn't happened in a long, long time.
Since Chris Johnson was a rookie. Okay, so we got a couple of questions from Twitter that we're going to answer real quick, and then we'll wrap this episode up.
Okay.
So from Mike Honcho asks, when do the national media start respecting the Titans again? What's your answer?
When do or when did? Because I'm not conceding that they do now.
No,
we've been a
when do they start respecting? When do the national media start respecting the Titans?
When we win the division and maybe a playoff game, and then go in to next year's draft with a boatload of money and two first round draft picks. I would say before the season.
Oh yeah, I would say once we make the AFC Championship and have good assets going forward, because I will contend that the national media has never respected the Tennessee Titans. We're like, even in our heyday with Steve McNair and Eddie George going to a Super Bowl, going to an AFC Championship, we were like the little redhead stepchild. They just kind of, you know, patted us on the head and say, oh, you guys play really good defense and you got a big running back. The national media is probably never going to respect us because we're a smaller market team, even though our city is cooler than most other cities. Caleb Searle asks, how many performances like this do we need to take our stadium back? Still tons of Green Bay Packer fans that were in there this week.
Part of that is our location. When we deal with a large market team like Green Bay or Pittsburgh or whatever, they have fans all over the place. I know it's real easy to say we don't have the fan base or what have you, but Nashville is just too easy of a drive for the large fan bases. What I want to see is us be all Titans fans for our division rivals, because there should be no Jaguars fans up in that thing. You know what I'm saying? But Packers, Cowboys, Patriots, since they've been so good, they're just going to be there because we're a nice central location. It's cheaper for some people to fly to Nashville and see the Packers play than to pay the outrageous fees on the resale market to see them in Green Bay. So nationally, I think that's just going to be it. Nashville is a great place for people to go watch a football game. And if there is a fan base like a Packers fan base, I think they're going to – I think that's just kind of part of it. Now, we can definitely show up more, and especially – fans aren't going to come out and think, oh, you know, I don't want to go watch my team get whooped by the Titans. So a couple more games, and when it comes to our division rivals, I think our home field advantage is going to be back. I think we'll have it by the end of the season.
The Titans just have to string together some home wins. This was a big one. This helped out a whole lot. But if you look at the Titans over the past 4 years, they do not win games at home. Okay, it's just – It doesn't happen. They're not good in the division, and they don't win games at home. It is an excruciating experience to get up ass early on Sunday morning, go out to the game, pay for parking, or even if you got a parking pass, you know, tailgate, be all into it, and then watch your team just absolutely fall on their face. They got eight home games a season, so they probably fall on their face about seven of those. Is really demoralizing for a local fan base. They have to get back to, especially because this fan base was introduced with the Titans, not losing a home game, I think, for 3 years, definitely 2 years. I mean, they were so dominant at home for a long time. So, you know, if they can string together a couple more good wins, and especially if they're playing competitive football late in the year, you will see the Titans fans come out. Because I will say, even though there were a lot of Green Bay fans there, the last home game that we played as well, there were more Titans fans than people expected to be in that stadium, and they made the noise, and they came out and did better. And I will say, even Mike Mularkey said after the game, that he felt like Titans fans came out, made noise, did what they should do, because he didn't hear any Green Bay fans in that second half. So, I mean, they just have to – what you have to prove it to this fan base, because nobody lives in Nashville. It's starting to turn around a little bit because there's a lot more condos and apartments and everything that's being built here. But generally speaking, everybody lives in these suburbs. You know, metropolitan Nashville, the story's always been there's like 1.5 million in metro Nashville and about 200,000 to live in downtown. That's just not going to, you know, there's a lot of people that came from out-of-market areas, moved here, that sort of stuff. It's going to take a little bit, but they have to win at home to get fans to turn back out.
Well, and week 17 will be a good litmus test to that. We got home versus the Texans. That should be for the division, and we should show up for that. And I think however this plays out, we'll have enough momentum, and the roster will be getting into a place where we can rightfully expect to be competitive in every game, and especially tough at home. But people have to remember how poor of a roster we were dealing with the past handful of years, and we're just now starting to come out of that. So I know that it's easy to get down on the fan base, but there was, you know, so many people that aren't on this team now that were on the team a couple years ago, 3-4 years ago, just were not NFL quality. They're not in the league. It's not like you're hearing about a lot of great ex-Titans lighting it up somewhere else. We were, you know, there's a reason we had the second pick and the first pick and so forth. We screwed the roster up, and we're just now coming out of it. So we finished this year off. We have another good off season. Next year, we should have a real home field advantage with the fan base, because we should be able to show up to any game and expect to be competitive and expect to beat some teams.
Yeah.
This was not the year for it. And so much of these tickets get sold up or bought up as soon as they go on sale in July and August, and there was not. You know, we were talking 6 wins would be a favorable season back then. That's not something that's going to motivate people. And that's, you know, but after this season ends, next July or August or August, whenever the tickets go on sale for the 2017 season, Titans fans are going to have to open their pocketbook. And I think they will.
And I'll tell you, like, the momentum is turning around. The marketing staff for the Titans has done a great job. The momentum is really turning around here in Nashville in terms of the kind of excitement that there is, and that will create people being, you know, in the stands, not selling their tickets. So one of the other questions we have, does Tyler Lewan need a Kung Fu master to channel his temper? Is his temper an issue at this point?
Maybe a little bit. That's the second time. Well, here's the thing. Is it an issue with me? No, because I like a guy with a little nastiness, or a lot of nastiness. You know, I'm just kind of programmed that way, and that's how I like my team to be. But that's the second game he got ejected out of this year, even though one was the tail end of the game. But that's the type of stuff that refs are gonna notice. And now that he got ejected from swatting a referee.
He didn't get ejected that first time. Remember, they took him out for the concussion protocol because they thought he might have that. He didn't get ejected in the Raiders game.
Okay.
I think it's the one you're talking about. Yeah.
Either way, all eyes, all the refs are going to be paying attention to him in Indy next week because he just slapped one of their friends. However you want to play it. So when that's the case, will he end up getting called? You know, he's going to have penalties called against him because they're –
Yeah,
because of his reputation.
He's a target.
And that's where it's going to hurt. Yeah, he's going to be a target.
Maybe he needs a
little meditation.
He's a target. He has to understand that. And I think he has to know that, which was pretty evident for the rest of the game, that the rest of that O-line has his back. He doesn't have to be the guy going ballistic. They're going to take care of business, and I felt like they took care of business for the rest of it. However, I felt like I almost tweeted out by around the third or fourth quarter, the most upset person probably out of this entire game would be Taylor Lewan's agent, because Taylor Lewan got ejected from this game and they did not miss a beat at all. And if you're trying to prove like how great your left tackle is, you know, how much, you know, he's going to have a contract coming up here in a year or two. Didn't help his case any at all that Dennis Kelly came in and performed very well at the left tackle spot for a much lower number that he's going to command. So last question we got, is 9 wins going to win this division?
That's from
Ohio Brent.
Oh, yeah.
Our buddy, friend of the show,
friend
former
of the
host,
show.
Ohio Brent, yeah.
Let me look. It's obviously going to be with Houston's the only other real competitor, I think, unless we lay
beat Jacksonville today.
Barely.
Which while you're looking that up, did you see the second interception that Blake Bortles threw?
No.
Oh my God! You have to go look this up on Vine. He drops back. The pass rush is coming at him. It's supposed to be, I guess, a screen to the outside to the running back. He turns and throws it low so that nobody else will get it. It hits the running back in the foot, skips back up, and one of their defensive tackles snatches it out of the air and starts running the other way. Oh, my God. It's the most ridiculous interception you'll ever see.
Okay. For us to leapfrog Houston, they're about to go on a run a schedule of teams that we have already played. Oakland, which we lost to. Oakland needs to beat Houston for us. That's Monday
Night
Football.
Oakland's going to smoke them. Oakland
San
is
Diego.
So much better now than they were when we played them.
San Diego. San Diego needs to beat them. That means when we, you know, the teams we lost to that are out of division, we need Houston to lose to. Then Green Bay. If Houston loses to Green Bay, okay, then they play Indy, Jacksonville, Cincinnati, and then us. We need them to have no more than 2 wins and us be there to play them for the division in the last week of the season. So we pretty much need everybody out of the division to beat them. Cincinnati, Green Bay, San Diego, and Oakland. And then we need to take care of the division and then play, and then whoever wins week 17, unless you see us getting the 10 wins, and then I think we're there either way. But I don't see us getting the 10 wins without beating them in week 17.
No.
So however that plays out. It's still an uphill battle because they're 6-3, and one of their games is a win against us. So they have the tiebreaker. So we either we're going to have to finish with a better record than them. So it's an uphill battle.
If we beat the Bears, which we should, and if we can take one of those games from either Denver, who has struggled against teams that can grind the ball like we can, and the Chiefs, who you kind of never know what you're going to get every week, if we can win one of those games, and then take care of business in this division, which I feel like this team is more equipped and is on a much better roll right now, that I don't think they have to sweep the division. But if we win, you know, like 2 of those games and then, say, take 2 out of the 3 division games, we got a chance to win the AFC South, period. And like you said, I mean, that's the only way we're getting into the playoffs. Whoever wins
right.
There's not going to be 2 teams coming out of this division that go to the playoffs.
We need at least 9 wins. I really see that, which would have us going 4-2 the rest of the way. That's pretty much it. So we'll, you know, either way, we're going to be in it. It's going to be fun. We're always going to root for Houston to lose, and there's some losses left on their schedule. So we dug put ourselves in a hole with the 1-3 start. My gut instinct, August, is as high as I am right now, is a gamer. We gave too many games away already that I still wouldn't put us as the likely favorite to win, but they're 6-3.
Yeah.
We're 5-5. We got a bye. We got 2 winnable games coming up, and then we'll have a whole week at the bye to really look at how the last month of the season is going. But I don't see any way we're not playing meaningful football in December, which we haven't in a long time.
Yeah, which, like we said before the season started, that was the goal. hopefully you win six games. Best case scenario, the last week or two of the season really, really matter. Like, you at least have an outside shot of getting to the playoffs, and the Titans are lining themselves up for that. So I think that's going to go ahead and wrap up this episode. You can find Brandon on Twitter at DrunkAshrew. You can find me on Twitter at AugustWest_MCM. You can find the show on Twitter at Titans MCM Radio. And everybody, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Thank you so much for continuing to support the Titans. This is a really exciting time considering the absolute crap fest we've watched for probably the last 3 to 5 years. Things are looking up, man. Marcus is growing up. The offensive line is looking great. The running game is looking great. Dick LeBeau is coaching up this defense. It's going to be a fun, fun game next week. Make sure you check out our preview episode, because I probably won't be as angry and as hot as I was last time, but it's going to look a little bit like it. So for Brandon, this is August West saying, Titans, go win yourself. Peace. I know just how much.